Hello, and welcome to What a Jazz Podcast. I'm your host, Elza Vishnevskita, and today's guest is a dancer, an organizer from Barcelona, Sonia Ortega Betru. We sit down to chat about her early days of dancing, performing with Frankie Manning in the 90s. We also talk about her partnership with Hector. Sonia shares her approach to teaching and competing. We also talk about the importance we place on levels and making it to the highest level possible. How being advanced a lot of times is associated with how many years you've been dancing, rather to how good are you with adjusting, with moving, with improvising, reacting, all of those things that we as dancers need to evaluate, get to know ourselves better as dancers. We also talk about competitions. Sonia shares that she, in fact, does not like competing. However, there's a lot of upsides of getting ready for a competition and putting yourself out there. We also touch on an interesting subject of having space for a more quiet dancing or a type of personality on stage in competitions. It has been a truly cozy talk and a vulnerable and open place to share. I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, put your hands together for Sonia. Hello.
Hi.
We're live in Warsaw. In Retro Weekend, I have so many ideas where to begin.
Wow.
But I think it would be nice to begin at your beginnings. So could you do a little like a recap of your dance life?
Well, I started in 1998.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Once you say 90 something, it's like,
Yeah, I started saying the date that I start rather than how long I've been dancing. Because it's like, yeah, you lose count of it after so long. And I was a kid, maybe like, I don't know, I'm really bad at maths, but 11, 12, 13, something like that. And I remember there was this event, Barcelona. It was the first time, and there was Frankie Manning there. So the organizer, he was my teacher, and he was like, it would be so cool, you know, to ask Frankie Manning if you could, you know, assist him in class. So I was assisting Frankie Manning in class, you know. It was a gift for me.
Oh my God, how was that experience?
It was good. Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I even have the video and it's nice to see, you know, all the people that started dancing back then and see how different we are now, you know, how different we dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were like 12?
Yeah.
You were a kid.
Yeah, I was a kid. Yes. I've changed.
Do you remember what you taught?
Well, I've seen the video.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was like the frog jump and...
Oh, and like you were teaching some lifts and...
Yeah, things. I mean, I guess he was like, good. I can do that with her. I wasn't that heavy. And also, you know, the way Frankie would put it, you know, when you're doing the swing out, I'm dancing with my queen. And I have to bow the queen,
yeah.
You know, this way of doing the swing out at the beginning. Yeah, this I remember.
Amazing. And then after that, you started dancing more?
Yeah, I have been dancing my whole life. I started doing classic dance before swing. And then I did some ballroom dances as well and some tap a little bit. But then Lindy Hop was like, I found myself in that dance, you know, it was like, yeah, this is the music that I like. And I remember when I was a teenager, I was kind of a weirdo at school because I would listen to this kind of old music, you know, like nobody else was doing back then at my age, like 15, 16 years old. It didn't make any sense to them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kept dancing until now. And I hope I will keep dancing forever, you know.
So you say you found yourself in Lindy Hop. Apart from music, was there something else that attracted you more than other dance styles?
Yeah, I felt maybe because I was coming from classic that was like super restricted.
Mm.
With Lindy Hop, I felt like I could be myself and there was no judgment of you have to do the things in a particular way. It's more like, how do you feel? How do you express?
Yeah.
And ballroom was also kind of strict or... So Lindy Hop was more, yeah, freedom, I would say.
And at what point did Lindy Hop become your life?
It's hard to say because when I started dancing, there was not many people dancing in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So my teacher asked me to help him, assist him as well, like pretty soon. So I was already teaching when I was, I don't know, 15 years old, mm-hmm. teenager. So, and I never thought of it as a job. Like I thought I would follow the normal path, no? You finish the school, then you go to university. I finished my degree. And then I kept dancing and I saw that, yeah, this was a different way of living, you know? Mm-hmm. The normal kind of jobs were not made for me, like, after dancing my whole life, I couldn't sit in front of a desk, you know, for 8 hours a day.
It's, yeah. No. Did you ever have that kind of job?
Yeah, I tried.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw very quickly that it wasn't for me. You know, like working with a group of people that were really competitive and
mm-hmm.
I didn't enjoy it that much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the dancing was already giving me a lot, so. Yeah. Why not focus on that?
And who were you in partnership before Hector?
I was with my cousin. His name is Xavi Recuenco.
Mm-hmm.
We were working together for a long time. And then we stopped. We had different objectives in life, so we separated. And then I started working with Jamin Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was... for more than 2 years, maybe three or mm-hmm. maybe more, I don't remember. But that was like a crucial point, because
mm-hmm.
it really changed my way of dancing. You know, I learned with him, I learned how to, as a follower, how to not predict, how to stay calm, because, I mean, you've seen how he dances.
It's, yeah.
It's like... surprising all the time.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
So I really enjoy that learning process.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of teaching with him, I started teaching with Hector.
Mm-hmm.
And till now.
How many years has it been?
I think it has been like 11 years, Hector and me teaching together. Yeah.
It's also... quite some time.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's that many partnerships, apart from, I guess, Sky and Frida, maybe Peter and Naomi, that I can think that have such a long time together.
Yeah.
And are still teaching today.
Yeah. I don't know. There's ups and downs, like every other thing in life. But I think we work quite well together. Like we balance each other well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this, but the fact of being as well in a relationship and partnership. And I think it's so unique to be able to spend so much time.
Mm.
And you were saying how that just kind of feels quite easy with you two. And I find it very beautiful. I don't imagine myself ever being with someone I can spend so much time with.
Yeah.
I guess it has to be particular characters that go together.
Yeah.
Because like traveling and teaching and like your whole life is.
Yeah, it's like 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there ever a moment where it was challenging or kind of naturally you flowed into this way of being?
Yeah, like we didn't have to talk about it. It just happened naturally.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see a different way of doing it. I mean, we like if we can work with other people because you always learn from other dancers.
Yeah.
And we kind of enjoy also teaching with other people. For example, Claudia, no, that she's also... with us in the messengers, or she's been teaching with Hector sometimes. And even though we have the same concepts in dance, it's a different person, so it's for sure it's going to be a different way of teaching or a different way to approach the concept.
Yeah.
And these bring us a lot of information as well, like not only for one person but also for the couple, no, the partnership. Mm-hmm. When I was working with Jamin, I would be teaching with Hector local classes, and I would kind of transmit what I was learning from Jamin to Hector. So it was, I think it's a way of growing also as a dancer and as a teacher, as a person, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think you two have also a very particular, I don't even know, style. Style is kind of a narrow word. Yeah. I think, you know, it's like style, but your own thing going.
Mm.
And I think it's been also changing over time, I imagine.
Hopefully.
Could you name some concepts or ideas that you think are the most important for you when you're dancing with each other and when you're teaching or exploring?
Yeah, so there's an evolution, obviously. Nowadays, we are focusing a lot on movement in the general term. So how to approach movement in different kind of perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And how the learning of movement can help you dance better with your partner, like connect better and feel better. And as a leader, for example, how to lead without over-leading, you know, this mm-hmm. kind of feeling. But we always go first as individuals, and then how this individual approach can help you dance better with mm-hmm. partner. And yeah, I think it's also part of our training. Like, we started taking classes in a movement gym, and it gave us like this broadened idea of you can approach so many things in terms of movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not only about bounds or rhythm or connection, but there's infinite things you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's like so many things we want to work on, and every day is like a new thing, you know, like we're really into it now.
Both of you have done different styles, Hector as well.
Mm.
Is there also the things that you try to bring from different things you've done?
Yeah, obviously, like our background it does affect our nowadays dancing. And what we learn from other dances that we think were positive. Like, for example, Hector used to be a tango, Argentinian tango teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about the embrace as a way to connect with your partner. And it comes from Argentinian tango idea, no? Because they have this technique that is so developed and it's so profound that if you can use it also for swing dancing and you add the rhythm part, but you are always taking care of your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we think if you can take like, or for example, salsa that has arm movement, no? Arm leading, arm following. You can use that technique and put it in a swing dancing, but with the rhythm. So I think you can use almost everything from other types of dances or other disciplines, as long as you know what you're doing
mm-hmm.
and your exploration, you know, and as long as you know what jazz is and rhythm is.
Yeah.
I would say. It's not like everything is valid
mm-hmm.
because it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it's like I've been listening enough music and I've been watching enough dancers and movies
mm-hmm.
That, of course, I think I can have an approach to the swing dance. I mean, I respect the swing dance, but I bring other dances into this knowledge. Yeah.
Because that's a discussion as well, right? It's like, how do we keep the groundedness of what is swing dance and how do we keep innovating?
Yeah.
And I think there's people on both sides. There's people who are really trying to stay as much as close to the, I guess, to the roots of some sort. And like the innovation is there, but I think it more comes to just expressing of doing that thing. Whereas I feel like you two are trying to push it and to see like what it can be while still staying kind of grounded to that swing. Do you ever go somewhere and you're like, no, I think this is not that. And then you have to like go back.
Maybe it's more like with time, no? Like you try something and then after 1 year or two, you see it and you're like, what have we done? I think that was not it, you know? Yeah, we are slow learners, I would say, in this sense. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that we're never trying to innovate in the sense that we don't see ourselves as special, you know? Like, I don't think I can... I don't think I'm doing anything that nobody can do. This is the idea. So I'm just trying to figure out how the body moves and in, it happens. I don't know. Like, I feel like swing... It's been in my life long enough to know when it's swing and when it's not.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to explain, you know, at certain point it's like, yeah, this is obvious it's not, and this is obvious it is.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it's not, for me it's natural, I don't know. There's no mental explanation, but we never gone through this, you know, like doing the step and decline the step because... it wasn't swinging enough or...
I think on top of like the things you bring with your dancing, you bring as well a lot of warmth as people into the festival. When, you know, we have the teacher's intro and then you two come in and people are just like, yeah, Hector and Sonia. And I think it's definitely being excited for the dancing. But I think people genuinely are just excited to see you and to see you in the festival. And I think there's, it also has to do with the energy we bring to events and to our classes especially. I don't know if you're aware of that,
but no.
What do you try to bring in your classes apart from the things you're teaching? Is there something that is like really important for you in the class environment
right now? For me, what is important is the attitude in class. Like something that I learned is, as a teacher, I don't have full responsibility of what the students will learn. I can only tell my experience and hope for the best. But if the student is not ready to learn in any kind, in any way, there's nothing I can do. When I was starting, I would like really try hard, you know, like try to be funny or I don't know, like... if I see someone that is struggling, I would try super hard to help that person. But now I understand that every person has their own learning process and learning way. So the only thing I can do is I give my experience and I say it in the best way I can. Sometimes it's not the best way. yeah, but for me is the values that I think that we want to transmit when we're teaching is first the attitude that you want to be in class, but you also want to practice once you're not in class. I mean, the material that you learn, even though you can do it in class, is not enough. Like you can practice it. You have to practice outside. Yeah. And also the values, you know, like how to take care of your partner, especially because we're teaching partner dancing. So how to take care of your partner and how to take care of the atmosphere in class. Sometimes we had to, you know, kind of say, okay, we know it's the last class of the weekend. Everyone is tired. We are also tired. But try to commit to the class because it makes a difference, you know. If you are in class, you're tired, you start sitting on the floor, all the energy is running out. And the fact that the energy stays good is not only on us, it's on every single person. Like everyone is important in class. And I think that, yeah, that is what we value the most.
Yeah. The school that you have at home or the classes that you teach is quite hardcore in a sense that people commit for quite a lot of hours, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell a little bit about how,
how you run it? Yeah, we started this way. It comes also from the classes that we're taking, the movement classes, we said. So the concept is we do two-hour class every day. People sign up for a fixed schedule, like one day a week. but they can come as many days as they want or as many days as there is a free spot. Kind of like a gym concept, but not really a gym. Our idea is that if you practice long enough, you will get better and enjoy sooner. And during these 2 hours, they do, everybody leads, everybody follows, because we think it's important to see the full picture, not just learn one role. And we also do some solo and some body knowledge exercises. And we always start with a warm-up and we finish with a stretching or something that helps you relax the body after these 2 hours, which are quite intense. Yeah, but I think the main change is the fact that you can go like more than once a week for 2 hours. And we have not a lot of people, but few people that come almost every day, which is like 4 days a week.
Yeah.
That's, we really appreciate those people.
Of course.
Yeah.
So like running things like that, but then also understanding that a lot of people in the community are there to have a little bit of fun. How do you balance those things where we want people to like push and engage and, you know, work on their dancing, but then especially when we go to a festival and you see people for a short amount of time, people are just there, you know, having a holiday weekend and they want to learn something, but it's kind of like not the main plan necessarily. How do we navigate that?
My approach is, I think that learning can be fun as well. You know, like the more you know, you can, the more you can enjoy as well. And it doesn't have to be like serious or like very technique. We do some, in class, we do some exercises that are more like games. And I think that is fun for people. It's fun for me, at least. I don't know. But I don't think it's either one or the other. You know, like I want to have fun. It doesn't mean you cannot learn. For me, it's opposite. Like you learn, you have fun. I like when I go to a class and I'm learning something. And even if it's, if I'm not having fun at that moment, because it can be challenging, it's a different kind of fun. No, it's like you finish the class and you're like, so much things I can practice and I can, you know, I have a purpose now. So this is fun for me too. I don't know.
That is a great approach, because I think, yeah, it doesn't have to be only fun or like I'm only doing this for fun, thereby I'm not taking it seriously. Like you can do this for fun and it can be fun, but you can spend a lot of time getting better and improving. I think in like local classes, we have a bit more influence. We get to know people more and you can set your own kind of rules of how we're going to do this. But it's a bit different when you come and you see people for a very short time in the festival.
Yeah.
So you kind of set your rules, but then you're there for an hour and then you go.
Yeah. And then the next couple of teachers, maybe they have a different rules.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Barcelona in the beginning.
Yeah.
That was your first festival.
Yeah.
And now you're running the festival.
Yeah,
it's like comes full circle, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's crazy. Huh?
Is it the first time you will be organizing a festival?
Yes.
What's your hope and your vision?
We would like to make it more like a jazz festival. So not only like dancing, but also listening to the music. We think that Barcelona is one of the cities that has like a big jazz community, like musicians and concerts. But we think we could bring other styles and of jazz, but not like just pure jazz, but maybe like Latin jazz and different kind of. So our future wishes would be to make the festival grow, but not only in the dancing part, but also like learning the culture a little bit better, the jazz culture. Right now, it's our first edition, so we cannot be very ambitious, but we're doing like a Lindy Hop solo, and there will be like concerts every night for 5 nights. Yeah, plus a 6-day in the street. There will be also live music. Mm-hmm. So yeah, our idea is to have a lot of music around.
Yeah.
This kind of. And then also we're trying to push it so that we can do like everybody leads, everybody follows kind of classes.
Mm-hmm.
Also the 2-hour concept.
Yeah.
It will be like a different concept. And yeah, our wish is to transmit our passion for jazz to everyone who joins the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And hope that they learn our values and that they have fun there.
Yeah. What are the biggest challenges organizing a festival?
For me, I'm a person that I like to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And when you organize a festival, you learn that you depend on so many things, you know, like other people's decisions and other people's way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
This for me is the struggle. Because I'm like, I would do things differently or in a different tempo.
Yeah.
And I have to be very patient with myself as well. So yeah, that is a difficult part.
Yeah.
You depend on a lot of people. Yes.
Someone doesn't do their job.
Yes, it's like we have to run.
Yeah. And also, I want to talk a bit about like levels. I don't know how you will do it in Barswingona, but we've been in a couple of festivals at least recently. And every time there's like an audition, we need to do the decision of who goes to which advanced plus level. And it's always challenging, and I don't think anyone is really happy about it.
Mm.
And what's your approach to like levels in the dance? Because I think the way you teach at home of like 2 hours, everyone leads, everyone follows. I guess the level approach is a bit different to what we normally have of like you get into advanced and then you're supposed to only go up, but then you reach the ceiling and you have to be in master plus plus. Like, how do you think about that?
Yeah, I think we have a concept of going up that it's difficult because like, what does it mean to go up? You know, like, you know, more steps, but maybe you don't know like the proper feeling of leading or following or how to, I don't know, do some kind of rhythm or these kind of things, you know? So sometimes being more advanced is confused with dancing for more years. It doesn't, it's not related to that.
Yeah.
It's like, how much effort do you put in the dancing?
Yeah.
And the thing with the levels, I think that everyone has to know, like you need to know yourself and then you can, like, you need to know where you're supposed to go. Like, you need to know your place.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's not the case, no? Like, everyone, we want to be accepted in the higher levels because we think we are better than what we are, or we think that if we go to a higher level, we will be accepted in the community, you know? But I think we put too much effort on how other people value us, you know? And we're not sincere or honest with ourselves. There's very few people that do, no? And for me, like, the best dancers are not the ones that can do more things, are the ones that can adjust better to the situation or to, like, we have good dancers that are doing beginner classes. They are so enthusiastic about it because they always learn something. And I'm not saying that everyone should go to beginner level, but I think it's nice to have also like mix in the same class because it's a picture of a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like when you go social dancing, you will dance with mixed levels. So why not in class?
Mm.
You know, like if you have to learn how to lead or how to follow something, we might as well try it with different kind of situations and not with the perfection all the time, no?
Yeah, I think it's hard because we have to, again, be very sincere to ourselves to like evaluate. And I don't know if I ever would have started to evaluate myself if I didn't start teaching like locally. Because then you have to really you need to break down everything. You need to question, you need to see what people are doing and then, you know, fix the things. And I think without that, like before I started teaching like locally, I was like, yeah, I think I get it. It is really hard to somehow really evaluate yourself without the measurement of, oh, I made it to advanced level. Oh, I made it to the competition or the finals.
Yeah.
Without these outside things.
It also happens, for example, in competition, like you're competing for the best place, no? And if you don't get it, you feel so bad because maybe you think that the judges didn't value you enough. But once you got one of the placement, if you got second or third or first, then you see things different. It's like, yeah, it's not what I thought, you know? Like you get yourself second and you're like, okay, what now? And then you see a video and you're like, yeah, I don't really like myself. I wouldn't, if I was judging this competition, I wouldn't place myself in this position. Mm-hmm. And then the next competition you do, you're like I think you're more honest with yourself, you know, because you're like, but you have to go through this process in order to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, I was talking to Shpela yesterday. She was doing a solo jazz competition. And she said that, I don't know how I did objectively, but I'm happy because I felt good and I felt relaxed. And she compared it to a competition before, some months ago, where she didn't feel that. And I think it's also like a nice way to go about it. Instead of thinking, okay, what did I do? Was it flashy enough? Was it rhythmical enough?
Yeah.
You just think of what kind of feeling I had as well. You know, was I able to really like be there and be relaxed? And that can already be a win for yourself.
Mm.
Like, oh yeah, that felt really good.
Yeah.
And you might look at it and you might be like, oh, it's okay. There's still things to work on.
Yeah.
But like that feeling is also like an inner compass.
Yes.
Totally. The opposite is also true. Sometimes you feel so bad, but then you look at the video and you're like, no, it doesn't look that bad. Yeah. But it's just like the feeling wasn't good, you know?
Yeah, it's funny how the way you feel, it doesn't matter what other people will tell you after. It's like, yeah, but I know what I felt. You know? Like I felt good. I don't care if I'm going to be placed or not because I had a good moment, you know? Yeah.
Mm. It's do you like competing?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Straight away. No.
Yeah. No, I don't like it.
Why?
I'm really competitive person. Like when we play board games, I'm always trying to win, this kind of thing. But I'm also very legal. Like I want things to be done according to the norms, you know? And in competition, it's hard to, maybe this is a little bit controversial, but it's not 100% about, if you get the placement, it's not 100% about you. There's so many outside circumstances that you cannot control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, judges are people, so they have their own personal taste. They have their preferences, but also like the circumstances, no? Maybe the room, the music. Is it the music that you like or not? Your mood that day. You're a different person one day and the day after. So it's all these kind of things can affect so much on the outcome and also on how you feel when you're competing. I prefer performing, for example.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're doing your thing. You know what you're doing. And you can feel better or worse, but it's something that it depends mostly on you, you know? It's not, there's not so many outside factors.
Yeah.
I think competitions are tricky. It's a good work, though. Like, preparing yourself for a competition is good training. You can learn a lot from there.
What I miss a little bit, in all the festivals, we have everything kind of in one. A lot of times we have some competitions.
Mm.
We have a party. We have some performances. But sometimes I wish there was a moment where people would have like almost like a separate party where it would be really about the party. Because when everything is in one, You know, the night is kind of like, yeah, it's a party, but people are maybe getting ready for competition or to perform. And it's like, who's having really a party now? You know, it's almost like we're just in the space in the evening.
Yes.
And then sometimes you're able to let go. And then at some point in the night, maybe the party gets going.
Mm.
But I feel like, yeah, it's just not always easy to really have a party once you also have all these things in the night.
Mm-mm.
And especially, I think, for comps, like in few events we've been in Winter Jump that doesn't have any competition.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a hardcore party, but it has a very relaxed atmosphere.
Yes.
Because people are just social dancing. They're just
there.
There's no like, oh, you know, the final is coming soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also appreciate that, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah. It's hard. It's like the balance between
hard to find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's people that is really for it. And there's people that really enjoy competition and they really have the, like the character to do it. You know, like there's certain people that the moment they step a stage, you're like, yeah, this person belongs to this kind of atmosphere.
And that's another thing, because there's a book called Quiet and it's about introverts. And how our society is not really built for quiet people or introverts. And I was thinking about the Lindy Hop community, how especially competitions, you can be such a good dancer. But I almost feel like now the value is on, like how it looks, what amount of energy it brings.
Yeah.
'Cause you can't measure how it feels. So now it's all about like, who's going to say it louder?
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily a fan of that.
No, me neither.
You know, I'd like to see a bit more contrast. Different things. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it when, for example, it used to happen to me when I watch a solo competition. Sometimes I feel like it's a bunch of crazy people dancing, you know. It's like, what's going on? If you just walk into the room without knowing, it's like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens, for me, this is what it happens sometimes. It's like everybody's trying to do very fancy things and very loud things. And sometimes it's not really matching the vibe of the music, for example, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, for me it's... And also another thing that I'm skeptical about competition is that, like, lately all the finals are with live music. And I feel like sometimes we're not paying enough attention to that live music, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it ends up doing, like, the finals are, like, very, like, neutral, you know? Like, everything is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And very recently I was watching, I don't know which kind of video, but, like, very old... from the new era, but old video of competitions. And it was like, I think it was in America, ALHC or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like strictly competition and couples would go in, but there was no like 8-8 or a full chorus for each couple. It was like each couple goes in whenever they want.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it, you know, it was so loose. It was like, yeah, I'm done. I'm finished. Next couple, you know? I like this feeling of freshness and of also like kind of a jam circle idea. Mm-hmm. No? And it also, I think it connects better with live music.
Yeah.
Because, live music has ups and downs. And if you have to dance like the moment of the piano being very quiet, what's the point of doing like crazy swing outs, you know?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I think I saw as well some clips from the ALHS, the American
Championship.
Yeah. And I mean, the style is very particular of that time, like early 2000s, and all the skinny jeans with like, you know, the big leg. But everyone, I must say, was very reactive to music as well.
Yeah.
And like, you know, a lot of times people would do like a body roll or like some sort of crazy turn. But like, it was always like when something changed in the music, the couple would react.
Yeah.
And they would go in and out if they have something prepped. But like the music would be reflected in that.
Yeah.
And it was also less clean in a sense because it's kind of jam. You have something, some things don't work. We're striving for some sort of perfection. Like a lot of Strictly's, they look choreographed at least. Yeah. Maybe they're not.
Yeah.
And I understand why, you know, like it makes sense. But because it's almost like, yeah, the space to just go out, maybe lose the connection and kind of get into it. Like the rawness is not really there.
Yeah.
But I think it also would be very hard to bring it as one person, be like, okay, let's just like go for it, you know?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, what did we do? You know? But like early 2000s, it just looked like a way more raw.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
And it's kind of fun to see that, you know?
Yes.
You know, like Harvest Moon Ball or the video from Savoy Ballroom, the prelims for Harvest Moon Ball. It's so raw and messy, but like, it's always rhythmical, but it's,
yeah,
it's definitely like, the energy is very different.
Yes.
You know?
I think also there's a kind of approach that we're not matching. That is, when you go out on a jam circle, we're trying to highlight ourselves. And I think, I don't know, I cannot speak for the old timers, and I don't know what they were thinking, but my feeling is that the idea was more of sharing rather than showing off, you know, like, hey, I have this to share. And of course there was like competition, no, like something that someone would do the next week, the other person would do it, and even better with a triple mortal in there. But it was always with the spirit of making the dance grow, I think, rather than making yourself feel better, like I'm in a higher position. Yeah. You know? And I think sometimes in jam circles, this idea is missing. It's more like, yeah, I have this trick and I want to show off. And I think we should, even like if you're not being part of the, like if you're not doing in a jam, but if you're in the circle, like you're also being part of this, you know, like you can create this atmosphere.
Yes. Instead of just being an audience member.
Exactly. Yes.
I agree. Jam circles was something I really missed during COVID. I remember jam circles. Oh, that was so fun. You know, but now, like when the jams are happening, a lot of times I'm like, I just want to go in. And instead of feeling the pressure of going in with something cool or only with someone like I'm very, very comfortable, it's going to be good. Like I'm more inclined to just
try. Yeah.
You know, whether it's solo or with someone, and kind of get like have a bit of the rawness.
Yeah.
It's like one place, I think, where you can do allowed. It. You're allowed. You're allowed to just like lose, maybe fall on the floor a little bit, get up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because you don't know what's going to happen with yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yeah, let's go random. Let's see what happens. And
yeah.
Yeah, I also like that.
For someone who spends so much time dancing, is there enough space in your life for non-dance things or people or activities?
Not much. But also because I choose not to.
Yeah.
I have very close relationship with my family, my cousins, my mom, my uncles. I have good friends. I enjoy going to concerts and to theater. I also take classes that is not dancing, but it's related to movement.
Yeah.
Yeah, other than that, there's not much more time.
Yeah.
Traveling, which takes quite a lot.
Yeah.
The traveling part. But then, yeah, like I have time to have a coffee, and I enjoy also like quality time with the people that I like and that are not only like dancers, but also friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy that having people in your life that are outside, at least outside the dance community,
yeah,
a little bit. Maybe they know it, maybe they're somehow part of it, but they don't really care about it.
Yeah.
I found it a very sobering thing.
I agree with that. At the same time, there's the other phase of the coin, that is because we have been traveling so much and we had the chance to get to know many people from different cultures. We also learn a lot about life in general, like how people do things in other countries. And I think this broadens our mentality as well, like few concepts that if I speak, for example, with my mom or my uncles, they might be a little bit more close-minded.
Mm.
And I think this is thanks to also like being a dancer and being in the swing community. Also the fact that, as you said, like it's a bubble. So we have this, we're talking in the community, we talk about this nowadays. It also brings you more awareness of the needs of the society. You know, it's like it's a bubble, but it's also a picture of what's going on in the real life, because we are not outside of the real life.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that it's closer, you can also have like these kind of conversations that are more intense and maybe outside of this world you wouldn't have, you know, like gender conversations, for example. Like I had conversations with friends, dancing friends, that I would never imagine I would bring if I didn't, like if I didn't know them enough in the swing community, you know, like if it's only a friend, a school friend, maybe I wouldn't bring this conversation into the table because I don't know what's the answer going to be, you know?
Yeah, I don't even know how I would be without having a chance to meet all the communities in different places of the world. And it's like all the places I've been for dancing, I feel like I've met the best kind of people. Like it's just, you know, and I come back from like cities, like I always have wildly different experiences.
Yeah.
And I know it's because
I
get to spend time in like these communities that we already have something in common. And like we can probably discuss quite a lot of topics open-mindedly and maybe not clash completely in our views as well.
Yeah. Also, like if you travel for pleasure, like as a tourist, and if you travel for as a teacher, dance teacher, it's so much different one kind of trip to the other. Like because of what you said, like when you travel for pleasure, if you don't know the people that you're visiting, it's like it's totally different experience. Like for tourism, you're not gonna, like you will see the buildings and you will get an idea, but when you can get to know the people, it makes a difference.
I always loved to travel since I was like a teenager. My dream was to travel. But now I actually don't like to travel for pleasure or as a tourist as much. Like, of course, it's like amazing to just leave somewhere and go to a nice city.
Mm.
But it's not something that I necessarily want to plan to spend a lot of time. Because if I travel, like it's more maybe the people I travel with, you go on a trip with family or a friend, that's kind of like the intention. But just to go to a city and walk around and visit museums, I don't have such a big interest in that anymore. Because for me, like really going to a place with an intention, whether it's dancing or maybe some other thing, but like just not being a tourist, like that's something, like that's the last thing I want to do. Like, when I'm in a city, I want to be the least touristic thing as possible, you know? Like, I want to go to local places. I want people to take me places and show me something, you know, that they appreciate about it. But not just walk around and like, oh, nice building, you know?
Yeah, I think because, like, more or less all the cities look the same.
Mm.
I mean, in terms of architecture and, I mean, there's very nice buildings, but once you have seen one, it's done.
You've seen them all?
Yes. I'm like, unless you are really into architecture and you like can really appreciate the detail of the window, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, yeah. I mean, I went to Egypt for a family trip. And I was like, now I'm ruined. Because, you know, like once you've seen the pyramids and all these constructions that are like so many years ago, now it's like, yeah, I go to a temple, it's not the same. You know, like I cannot compare it, but still. Yeah, so never go to Egypt, that would be my advice.
No, I still want to appreciate architecture.
No, just kidding.
a different question to finish it off a bit. What is something that you're working on as a dancer and as a person?
Well, I think it's going to be the same thing, because I'm very critic with myself and with almost everyone, but especially with myself. I think one thing that I'm constantly working on is accepting myself, but not only on the dance, also like as a person, you know, like staying calm, being able to control certain situations, like moments that I get like mad at things, or I want to grow in that aspect. And also this is related to the dance as well, because I want to feel better when I'm dancing. It doesn't necessarily mean it looks better from the outside. And this is a long way for me, because it's like I used to be, like when I watched the video, I was like, yeah, this, I didn't do it right. But it's not about that. It's more about feeling. Especially when you're dancing and you have an audience, you know, it's like sometimes, so many times you're like doing things and you're like, meanwhile, you're thinking, what am I doing? Like, why am I feeling this way? You know, like, doesn't feel really good. So I'm working on feeling better, and also on understanding that if I don't feel good, it's okay. You know, like, I don't have to be always happy. Like, we were having this conversation before, no? Like, as a person, if you are totally with yourself, you can appreciate that you can be happy and sad at the same time. And I think finding yourself comfortable with that, yeah, that is one of the things that I'm working on. I don't know if I will succeed with that, but I'm working on it.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's a long process, like, I think it's something so important to work on. And I think a lot of us are
right
in that.
Yeah.
Even if people are not doing dance as extensively as we are, like, I think in general, just like accepting. And there's a lot of, I think, being critical and thinking you can do better, you can be better, comparing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes it happens, like, for example, you had like a super nice class, and my very first thought is, I really enjoyed and I really liked it, but it's too bad because maybe the next class is not going to be as good as this, you know, or the next performance, or so I'm like, I cannot fully enjoy this moment now because maybe the next one will not allow me to enjoy it. It's very mental, but at the same time, it's like when you do something right, that it feels right, sometimes it's tricky because you get yourself too confident, and then the next time it doesn't feel that right, you know?
It almost is kind of a fear of feeling, of embracing some happiness of the moment. And, you know, I think we all like want to be happy and we all want to be feeling good. But I have this feeling sometimes when you're really in a moment where things are just going well, or maybe you did a performance and it was good, or maybe you're in a period of your life where you're like, things are just falling to places. Then the next emotion straight after that thought for me is like fear of like, well, from here, it's only down.
Yeah.
You know? And it's so scary because it's like, you cannot even appreciate it anymore. You're like, well, it cannot get better than that. So it's just going to get worse and something's going to happen.
So now it's terrible.
Now it's terrible. So you're trying to prevent yourself from being terrible in the future. But you're just worried now.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. But like somehow at that moment.
Yes. It's so human, I guess.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it's better to strive to be somewhere than like, you know, get to that place.
Yeah.
It's like, even if you don't place in a competition, I feel like it's almost an easier place to be, mm. thinking like, okay, maybe next time I'm going to do better. Mm. Oh, next time.
Mm.
Rather than maybe like placing and be like, okay, I made it. Oh, what's next? From now on, it's just going to be worse because I cannot like get first plus place. I can get another first, you know, like there's nowhere else. Like, so it's like, you know, sometimes getting there, it's like,
I think it's the nice, the beautiful thing of this, you know, like our teacher, movement teacher, she always says that the moment you think that you achieved something, you're lost. Because it's like, there's always something you can do, always something you can learn. And I agree with that. Like the moment you think, oh yeah, I can do a swing out. Okay, there's nothing else you can do, you know? But if you think there's so many things you can improve or you can focus on, then there's always room for improving.
Mm. Yeah. And then you don't arrive to that place where you're like, what's next?
Yeah, no.
You're always just gradually going somewhere.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you
for talking with me.
Thank you. I enjoyed a lot.
Me too.
Thank you for tuning in to What a Jazz Podcast. The episode was created together with the music of Dimitrio Papa, the visuals of Linda Vilnishkita, and the support from the Swinging Europe Network project. You can follow our updates and the new episodes on What a Jazz Facebook page. Take care, goodbye, and until next time.